Dear Heavenly Father, as we get into the Word this morning, we ask that whatever I say and share and speak to your people, it will give good insight, insight that's very important for our life. Father, you said that we should not live by natural bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And what a privilege we have to take and eat of your word and live forever. We thank you for that. Amen. In John 8:36, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free in reality. You shall be free. Only a free man can set others free. Only a lover can inspire others to love. He was the first man free from selfishness that the world had ever known. No wonder they wanted to rid themselves of him. He did not seek his own. He claimed nothing. He gave everything. He revealed a new kind of love. He was love's first experience in human form. He was God's Word made flesh. No quid pro. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him. And without him was nothing made that was made. He was the true knowledge, the living word. Reason cannot understand this, but our spirit feeds upon it with joy. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hebrews 4:12, the Logos of God is a living thing, active and more cutting than any two-mouth sword, penetrating to the very division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, scrutinizing the very thoughts and concepts of the heart. And no created thing is hidden from him. All things lie open and exposed before. The word is our responsibility to him. It is this living logos of God with whom we have to reckon. The word takes on personality. The word scrutinizes my thoughts. The word knows the innermost thoughts and concepts of my heart. This word becomes a living thing on the lips of faith, and in the heart is love. His actions were motivated by love. He did not try to prove his deity by performing miracles. It was love that drove him to do them. He wanted no elusive thing, suffering agony, pain, and grief. Matthew 23:37 is one of the most vivid love pictures in the life of our Master. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets and stoneth them that thou art sent unto her. And how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her children under her wings, and ye would not. There is a sob in that, tears mingled with agony. One can hardly read the next verse. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Now you can understand those tragic words on the cross. It is finished. And then the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, and the temple of the Holy of Holies was left open. The blood covenant people had rejected their Jehovah, and he was weeping over it. He turned his steps toward the cross, the climax of his earth walk. Jehovah, the man of Galilee, was born in a manger and reared among the poor and the underprivileged. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. It is hard to conceive the loneliness experienced by the Creator. Homes were closed against him. Rather than endure persecution and ridicule, from the religious leaders of the day. They excluded their Jehovah from their circles. He was an outcast. I was a child cast upon thee from my mother's womb. Satan sought his life from his birth. Perhaps if we knew more about the earth walk of the Master, we would see a life filled with loneliness and heartaches. He is a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. He is despised and rejected, and the rejected one. And yet, he is love. Praise God. You know, years ago, as far back as I can remember, my first Christmas, I never really understood the full meaning of it because I was too young to really understand it. But as I grew in knowledge and understanding, even up till the time I gave my heart back to the Lord, I never really fully understood what it meant for Jesus to come and manifest. Can you imagine being born into this world, coming from the third heaven? Even when he was a little baby, his attributes would not permit him to speak, but yet the second member of the Godhead dwelt within him. Yeah. And I often wondered, why did he manifest? Well, as I grew and began to understand the Word of God, I found that men could not adequately express the purpose for the reason he had to manifest. When I started going to Rhema, I began to realize my faith is established in the Son. That is the New Testament faith. Not the Old Testament, New Testament. And after reading the Old Testament, I knew why he had to manifest. Because the Old Testament could not really unveil who the Redeemer would come to be. That's why Israel could not understand their Redeemer in their midst. He brought a confusion to their thinking. They couldn't understand why he would speak the way he spoke. When they argued with him about Abraham, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Can you imagine their thinking? Well, they said it. How can you say that? You're not older than him. They were thinking from a natural viewpoint. He was speaking from him being incarnate. He existed long before they came into being. He was transitioning from the Old Testament into the New. He was making that transition. Boy, that must have been something to see him do away with the old and bring in the new. See, the natural Jew could not understand that. I know when I was in Turkey, I know that there was a non-converted Jew. And I asked him what he thought about believers going over to Jerusalem and making them converts. And he told me, he says, "We think you're crazy, but we like your money." Would you explain that? He says, "Well, you're asking us to leave God for another one. And besides that, you say you have soteria. And I said, "Yeah, we have salvation." And he says, "No, not sozo, not to be saved." He says, "You say you have salvation." And I says, "Yeah, well, I was thinking through Jesus, you're saved." He wasn't coming from that. Because you see, the Old Testament's believer who believed in the Christ that was to come knew that he was their only salvation. And they had to call upon him for salvation. But this Jew knew what salvation was, soteria. And he says, you say you have it. And you know what? God gave us salvation. He saved us, then gave us soteria. And you know, our minds can't conceive that. But God can. He can conceive it. Because he created a new man in you and me to carry salvation. But you know, when he said, you say you have soteria, I thought he was referring to sozo, saved. Well, they didn't know what it meant to be saved in the Old Testament. Because they had to live by law. And if they failed the law, they didn't know whether they would make it or not. But what he was referring to was soteria. And I finally found it in Romans 10. Oh, what a great opportunity we have, because Jesus came and gave us his life. And not only did he give us his life, but he gave us all the things that had come with it so that we can succeed in that life. And the church has taught many of us that if we hang in there until he comes for the church, we'll make it. He didn't appear that way. He appeared to give us something that our life of success could start now. Not when we get to heaven. No, it'll be worth it all when you receive him now. Now, you inherited sozo. You couldn't work for it. You couldn't earn it. You couldn't even grow in it. It had to just simply been given to you. So you're saved. But salvation is your responsibility to grow and to develop and to rescue. Because I read that if a free man, it takes a free man to make men free, then that means when he created you and I in that new birth, he created us as free men. We are free. What you say to yourself is what you say to your life. And that's why we got to, what Lonnie was saying, we've got to say it out our mouth. We got to declare, not just necessarily before men, but declare boldly before ourselves of who we are in him, regardless of what you feel like. I'm challenged every day by my natural outward man because he constantly reminds me of where I'm not. And I have to constantly remind him where I am and where I'm going. And we've got to learn to talk and think like that. What I am presently and where I'm going. Amen. And we have to be bold about it. Cast not therefore away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Hallelujah. But you have to have endurance after you've declared the promises of God. Hallelujah. And you can't do that through your natural man or the way he thinks naturally. You have to go where the spiritual man is and where the spiritual man thinks differently. Hallelujah. People, we have a great salvation. Jesus is our great salvation. We are accountable to him. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Sad thing that grieves me is when I hear a testimony of a believer giving himself to the Lord and then turned to Judaism. Do you know that when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, Judaism was laid aside? It's now called another religion. God was in it at one time. But when his son came into the world, that was a transition. From that which is physical to that which is spiritual. It's totally different. And with that thought in mind, I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And in chapter 10, let's go to verse 5. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. And there's where the religious man couldn't understand Jesus. It is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifices and burnt offerings and offerings, an offering for sin, you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. Follow me. To do your will, O God. Now watch this. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. What was he referring to? He was referring to your soteria that was given to you above your outward being, your outward man. Because your outward man was co-crucified with him on the cross. And that's when he said, I have come to do your will, O God. I want to take away the first. That was what you were born into this world with, that physical body, that he may establish a second, which is your spirit. By that will, we have become sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, not his spirit, his body. And so when that little baby was born in a manger in Bethlehem, they called it AD. And it wasn't after death. It wasn't BC, before Christ. It was Ado Domini, meaning God had no physical evidence of ever existing before mankind as a whole until he was born in that little manger in Bethlehem. And it was God manifested in the flesh. And you want to go back to Judaism? To find your roots, that is impossible. You have to go to Jesus Christ and get founded in him to find your roots to understand Judaism. And I thank God that I have the opportunity in my lifetime to not say happy holidays, but to say Merry Christmas. We are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away concerning that first birth because he took it and nailed it to the cross. And you know what? The church should not be in deception. It should not be led to believe that you got to get good enough to be accepted by him. And that is not Christianity. Christianity is he made you good enough. He justified you good enough. Therefore, put off the outward man with his practices and become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Live a life that you've never before lived differently. Because you have that right and you have that privilege. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God for this will. Praise God. Can you imagine Jesus coming into this world knowing that he was going to be your sacrifice because you were not capable of doing it. It's like going to a classroom and having to take the most critical test of your life, and you know you could not pass that test. It was impossible. Because whatever reason, it was too complicated, too difficult. It's something that you couldn't understand. And so Jesus steps aside and sits down to you next to your desk. And he says, I'll tell you what, my people, you let me take the test. And you let me pass this test for you. And you let me give you your grade, which is A+. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I call that a good test, a good time for testing, when my Lord sits at my side and says, let me take the test that you cannot pass. Let me pass it for you and give you my grade. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. You know, I always hear this statement, thank God Jesus was resurrected, or I wouldn't have been saved. And you know, whenever I hear that, I always want to shout this out to them, that they've missed the most important part of resurrection. And I want to quote the scripture to you. So you're thankful that he rose from the dead so you could be saved. Yes, amen. No. He was resurrected from the grave because in the mind of God, whoever receives him has already been justified. Yes. Saved. Amen. That is Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised through the justification of us. The translators didn't know that he could not come out of the grave until we were justified. And Satan wants to keep you in that little old nasty 5 cents mind thinking that you're lucky you're even saved. You're nothing more than a worm that don't even deserve being saved. I got news for you. That is not how he came out of the grave. He came out of the grave and said, all hail. Hallelujah. All authority has been given unto me both in heaven and earth. Therefore, you go, because he transferred soteria to you and me. Amen. How many of you have perfect kids? Anybody have perfect kids? But you know something? You have a perfect soteria. You have a perfect salvation. And I got news for you. You speak that over your children. And guess what? Your children might not work in perfection or walk in perfection or walk worthy of the Lord. But in the end, when it's all said and done, they'll go to be with their maker if you confess it over their life and not give up.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, when God is so appreciative of you standing with your boldness of confession, is when everything is going contrary in the natural, but yet you'll still stand and be bold about your confession of what belongs to you and to your family and what you say over them. Never give your children up to the devil. Stand fast in your prayer closet and declare victory over their life, whether they ever walk in it or not. And in the end, God will approach them and give them eternal life for your sake. God loves his people, but he loves his offspring as well. Praise God. He tells us that in Hebrews chapter 2, that he loves the offspring of mankind, gave everything to him. Well, that includes your children. Well, all they'll do is regret for the way they walked while they were here. But, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Glory to God. It'll give you something to talk to your children about when they get there with you. You stupid idiot. You know what you went through for nothing? And they'll look at you and say, let me kiss you, Mom and Dad, because you kept your word over me. We're all made to win. We're all made to win. We're not made to lose. And let this be the best Christmas you ever had. But if you got anything troubling you, put it aside once and just sit down and take a few moments of time and say, Lord, thank you for coming. And thank you for letting the world know that you love them and that they have a right to choose their eternal destiny. And thank him for coming. And thank him for being born in that manger, knowing he was going to be a sacrifice for you, to take that test, for you to have that grade. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'll never forget my daughter. She needed $300 for Christmas. I started praying and I said, God, I'm going to declare $300 for her. She don't live for you. I don't like the way she lives. She angers me. But she needs Christmas money. And I'll never forget what the Lord said. Okay. She calls us one day. Do you know what happened to me? You know what came in the mail? A check for $300 and I don't even know why I got it. That's what I needed. That's what I wanted. And I said, give God glory. Boy, I tell you what, that so excited me. I'm going to tell you, people, I don't know about you, but I get thrilled when my prayers, I finally see them come to pass. I'm talking about prayers that are good over people's life. Not prayers of judgment because they're not doing things right. I mean, my attitude was, she don't deserve $300. But you know, the love of God says she needs it. And I'm counting on you to confess it and believe it in for her. When I went through that, I was so excited. The Lord finally told me, he says, that's how I want you to be with all your children. And your friends and everybody. Watch how you talk about them. Talk good things over their life. And let me do the changing in them. But you do the confessing. You do the talking. You do the things that they need. They don't know how to do it for themselves. But if you keep doing it, then God will go to work for your behalf. Boy, it does your heart so good. Especially when you get in your prayer closet and you start saying, I have an inheritance that is rich with God. I can confess these things. I can be deemed to stand in the gap for my kids. And all the while, your natural man is saying, why should you do that? They make you sick the way they act and carry on. They don't know how to do nothing for themselves. And why, you know, your natural mind, it always has to pay penance because it's only of natural love. But God don't look at it that way. While you were yet unlovely. Can you imagine every one of us not being lovely? While you were yet unlovely. While there was nothing in you that I desired. I still, in my love, went to the cross to qualify you. Well, I could go on and on. But I'm going to tell you something, people. Many years ago in that manger, the shepherds on the hillside saw the glory of God. And how I'm going to interpret that in closing is, Merry Christmas from God for that gift that he has given you, that little babe in a manger. And we're going to see it one day. We're going to see it. When we get to that side. It's not too long off. Praise God. Praise God. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 I don't know who it is, but somebody here, you're having problems with your breathing. Who is that? Come on up here for prayer. You felt a tightness in your chest. You're concerned about it. You're having problems with your breathing. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. How long has this been going on, sweetie?
Since Saturday.
Okay. Are you ready to get set free from that? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody else? You're standing in for somebody with that, okay? Praise God. Praise God. Boy, God's got his hand on your little life, girl. Hallelujah. 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 I don't know, this prayer might be for me, but is there somebody here having sinus problems? You've been having some sinus problems? Who is that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You come on up here if you want. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Boy, I'll tell you what. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're standing in for somebody. Did they want you to, or are you just a... Oh, you relate to them? Okay. We'll give them the glory. Because I really feel... Oh, the little baby? Both of you. My gosh, we've got to deal with that little critter called virus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have you guys pray for me and my wife when we get through here. You guys are going to come in agreement with. Amen. Okay, Father, when I go by and lay hands on these precious ones, Father, I'm going to believe that they're going to receive. They're going to be healed and they're going to be set free. In Jesus' name, because Lord, you have given us promises of healing over and over again. And I thank you that that authority for that healing you have given to the church. And so we exercise our position of right in that. And when I lay hands on these few little sick folk, they are going to receive their healing because that is our bread and our promise from heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. And we declare that healing is going to take place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You can struggle and resist so long. You can do it only for so long. But inevitably, you will come down the aisle. You will come down to the aisle and give me your life. For I have been moving on you and moving on you and moving on you, and you will give your life to me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. So I open that invitation again for you today, my son. And it is up to you if you desire to come. Come freely, for I have a life that you need that will answer all your questions. For you cannot go on the way you're going and do the things you're going and find happiness in the end. For I am the happiness for your life. For I am, history saith, the Lord. Hallelujah. So, Father, as we now close this service, Father, we thank you for the things that you've done here today. And we want to thank you for the Christmas you're giving us. And we want to thank you for the Christmas that you have given us. And Father, may everyone be blessed as they go. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Have a very Merry Christmas. Praise God.